What about the strange units of measure we use in the United States? I'm Joseph. This is Input English. The Input English channel provides comprehensible input for English language learning. Comprehensible input is a fantastic way to improve your English. If you need more information on how it works, I have a lot of videos on this channel that explain it in great detail. I started out mentioning the strange units of measure that we use in the United States. Well, let me assure you, this is not going to be a problem for you. This is a lighthearted discussion, and it will not cause you any difficulties at all. The context is simple. We need to measure things. We need to measure length. We need to measure volumes. We need to measure weights. We also need to measure time. Over the years, there have been many different conventions on how to measure these various quantities, and different units of measure have been used in different parts of the world. But in the 21st century, 95% of the countries use the metric system. So if you know the metric system, you're in very good shape. At the present time, the United States and a handful of other countries still use other methods of measurement, typically the customary U.S. system. So how did all this come about? Well, the United States got the measuring methods from Great Britain. Over the years, our U.S. system of measure evolved a little differently, so there was no longer an equivalency between these units. The United States was well on the way to conversion to metric years ago. In 1975, President Gerald Ford signed the Metric Conversion Act that created the Metric Board, and the purpose was to convert the United States over to the use of metric. However, 7 years later, Ronald Reagan decided that this was not what he wanted to do, so he, by executive order, abolished the metric board. Now, that didn't get rid of metric conversion. Arguably, it slowed it down quite a lot. Still later, in 1991, President George H.W. Bush directed the federal government to use metric in official government activities and in commerce to the extent that it was feasible. With that, the limits of metric conversion basically boiled down to time and money. How long is it going to take? And what's it going to cost? For those of us growing up in the United States, around the house and in school, we used the customary U.S. system of measure. We were taught ounces and inches and pounds, and we used them in the day-to-day. In secondary school, I was introduced to the metric system. But in university, everything was metric. Everything was completely metric. So at the present time in the United States, we deal with two systems of measure. We deal with the customary U.S. measure system and the metric system, and we learn to convert between the two. It's really not a big problem. It can create errors if you do the conversions badly. In 1999, NASA, the United States, lost a Mars Climate Orbiter because of an error made converting metric and standard units. That costly error showcases the kind of trouble we can get into if we make simple conversion errors. Let's start with measuring length. One of the things that people did to measure length is compared a dimension on their own body to whatever they were trying to estimate. This width of a thumb is about an inch. And then they measured the length of their foot, and that was called a foot. Now, these units of measure have been standardized over the years, so it's no longer necessary to compare how many of your thumbs would measure something. You can use a ruler, but this is where we got the inch, and the foot is where we got the foot. So in the U.S., there are 12 inches to a foot. There are 3 feet to a yard. There are 1,760 yards to the mile, and that's the same as 5,280 feet to the mile. Those are the units of measure for length that most kids learned in school. It's what I learned. It's what we use mostly in the day-to-day. There are some other length measurements. One of those units is called a furlong, and a furlong is 220 yards. It's 1/8 of a mile, and the place you will encounter furlongs is in horse racing. When it comes to volumetric measure, the customary system in the United States includes ounces, cups, pints, gallons. An ounce can be further subdivided into 2 tablespoons or 6 teaspoons. The place you will encounter teaspoons and tablespoons will either be in the kitchen or instructions on medication. We usually think in terms of a teaspoon being roughly equivalent to 5 milliliters and a tablespoon roughly equivalent to 15 milliliters. These approximations work well for us because in the context of kitchen recipes, great precision is not required. For most of us, we think in terms of an ounce, 8 of these equal a cup, 2 cups equal a pint, and 2 pints equal a quart. A quart is a quarter of a gallon, so there are 4 quarts per gallon. Those are the measures that we use routinely for volume. There are others that are a little more obscure. In the realm of agriculture, you might hear someone refer to a peck, which is 2 gallons of volume, and a bushel is 8 gallons. There was a song taught to me as a child in which the singer attempts to quantitate their love and estimates it as a bushel and a peck. Well, if you do the math, a bushel and a peck equal 10 gallons. You won't encounter a bushel and a peck very often in the United States. You might find it in literature. It's relatively obscure. In addition, you could hear of a volumetric measure, a barrel. That's typically used in the petroleum industry, and that equals 42 gallons. As you would expect, it doesn't come up in day-to-day conversations very often. When it comes to measuring weight, we again use the term ounce. And since we consider the density of water equal to 1, an ounce of water by volume is almost exactly an ounce of water by weight. That's convenient. It only works for water or something with the same density as water. Starting with ounces, if you have 16 ounces, you have a pound. And there is an expression in American English you might hear that says, a pint is a pound. That refers to water only. Something with the density of water. That points out that 16 ounces of water, a pint, weighs 1 pound. From a pound, we go to multiples of pounds until we get to a ton, which is 2,000 pounds. A ton in the U.S. should not be confused with a metric ton, which is 1,000 kilograms or 2,200 pounds. In England, there was a traditional unit of measure typically used for measuring people's weight, and that is a stone. A stone is 14 pounds. So you might refer to someone weighing 12 stone or 15 stone. That never comes up in the United States, ever. You may encounter it in your input if you get British input or you read things that were written in England. So these units of measure are really a work in progress in the United States. It is foreseeable that we will eventually convert over to the metric system. It will take time and it will take money. For the language learner, these are not issues. This is not going to be a problem. The reason I made this video was to showcase the terms, talk about the terms, so that when you encounter them in your input, you will know in general terms what they mean. I would not counsel anyone to study this in depth or memorize conversion factors. It makes no sense to do that. When I have traveled to countries where the metric system is used, I just adapt to it. The speed limits are posted in kilometers per hour. The speedometer on the car is calibrated in the same units. And then I can make decisions about my speed referring to these two sources of data. On this channel, I put a lot of emphasis on noticing things. And so now that you've had this overview of the different systems of measure, you can just notice them. Don't put a lot of time into studying any of this. Just relax and enjoy the input, knowing in general terms what these units mean. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.